Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Hotbed. This is our fifth series of The Hotbed podcast, brought to you by The Hotbed Collective. I'm Aniki Somerville.
And I'm Lisa Williams.
And we're sometimes joined by our co-founder, Cherry Healy, to talk about why women don't have as many orgasms as men. We want to know why this is, and so we use this podcast and our,
drumroll,
new book, More Orgasms Please, Why Female Pleasure Matters, to explore issues such as body image, shame, and the impact of busy lives on sex and relationships, and more. Listen on and follow us on Instagram at The Hotbed Collective.
Welcome to the Hotbed podcast. I'm here with Lisa, who's going to be a quiet producer sitting in the background while I chat to the effervescent Shona Virtue. She describes herself as a fitness feminist.
I love that.
It's magic, isn't
feminist.
It?
What is a fitness feminist?
I think that she is really into fitness. She's an expert. She really is an expert when you look at her credentials. Like, she's got the goods. Like, she's really done the work. I think she's an ex-professional gymnast. That's kind of one. That's one part of her expertise. She also taught David Beckham yoga.
Oh,
I know, right? I really love her because she talks sense.
Mm-hmm.
All her posts are brilliant. They're really intricate and really knowledgeable. There isn't just kind of whitewash of fitness information. It's really, she really knows her stuff.
Mm.
And I think she calls herself a fitness feminist because she also ties in a lot of those feminist messages that we're really. That are really exciting at the moment. Like, I am staying healthy and strong for me, not because of the expectations of the outside world. She's fantastic. I really like her vibe and I really like how knowledgeable she is.
So it's tricky times, isn't it? Because I would say body positivity, I have fully embraced. And for me, it came at like a perfect time where I'd had kids and I've like yo-yo dieted and my weight has fluctuated so much over the years. And the thing is, to me, I've never been happy. So there have been times where I've literally written emails going, I'm really fat at the moment. And then I look at pictures when that email was sent and I'm like, I really wasn't. I had a perfect body, as in, like, it's never going to be.
Like, it was perfect and gorgeous and
lovely.
Yeah,
it really was. And obviously, I would just zone in on the fact that I'm a bit pear-shaped and I don't have the breasts that I want.
You mean you didn't look like a nine-year-old boy, all the girls in the magazines?
I know. It's sad, isn't it? So body positivity for me was just like, you know what? You're never going to be as healthy as you are today or as young as you are today. So just like enjoy it and find some space in your brain for other stuff. And I have to say, clearing out diet culture, I haven't weighed myself since I interviewed Megan Jane Crabb, you know, Body Posy Panda. I haven't weighed myself since then. And clearing that space has made me more productive. Yeah. And I do think, my weight's fluctuating. And then I think, you know what? I'm not worth that. I'm worth more. So for me, fitness feminist is interesting because you could say that it's not all that brilliant just to be eating what you want and not exercising.
It's really, I like the change in wind in this conversation because I think in order to counteract the very toxic diet culture and you need to be extreme. I mean, I've had massive struggles with my weight. I've always wanted to be thin. Even when I was really quite skinny, I wasn't thin enough because I felt like a woman was the pictures in the magazines, and they are skeletal. They are not a body shape I'm ever going to achieve. So I've always felt masculine and boxy, and I'm very sporty, so I've always felt like a man, really. And I remember saying to my therapist once, I'm worried because I think about it so often that if I actually recover from it and I stop thinking about it, I don't know who I am. Like,
wow.
I actually don't. It was my own private little prison for 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've started to recover from it and start to think about other things, and I love getting dressed and I love being fit and I love looking after my body. But then I get on with the rest of my day. And the freedom, God, the space, I love that phrase, the space in my brain has like allowed me to blossom so many other parts of myself. So what I like, so the diet culture is so toxic, and I think the body positivity movement has needed to be ferocious to pull us all away from it, to pull us out of it. But I think there are a few voices that are bringing back a little bit more balance, because it's all right if you want to lose some weight. It's okay. And I think the culture at the moment is, if you admit that, you almost feel ashamed. Whereas I think the point is that you, weight is not who you are. Weight, your weight is not your value. So if you want to lose a few pounds because your clothes feel a bit tight, that's absolutely fine, as long as you don't feel like you're going to be happier and a better person after it. So I think what Shona's really interesting when she talks about it is almost like a body neutrality. Like, you don't need to walk around every day loving every part of yourself. I mean, it'd be like a maniac.
I love my eyes.
Every day I love my little finger.
I love my teeth.
And it's a bit exhausting as well. And I think a lot of women feel quite intimidated when they see really, really full on. But I'm not saying it's bad, but some women, the reaction can be almost as toxic as not loving your body. It's like, oh no, look how confident they are. And oh my God. Actually, probably for most people, the more normal, like happy way is, I appreciate my body and this is a great body and thank you very much, but what am I going to do today? Who have I not called? Oh my gosh, I haven't done that work as well as I could have done. Actually, body fixation isn't good. Body fixation is good. And what I love is Shona's focus on being strong. Like, what are you being strong for? Why are you being strong? She's got a new hashtag at the moment, which is called 99 Reasons. It's about why you're being strong. Like, I've got two kids and I carry them up the stairs because they both love Caru. Bloody Caru.
Caru.
Made it in rod for my own back. But it's such a cute, it's adorable. I mean, my daughter's 9 and she still likes to be carried. And I'm able to carry them both up the stairs. And I carry a lot of kit for work, and I can carry that kit without whinging too much. I have to stand a lot for work. I have to jump in and out of boats and cars. And so my fitness isn't really just about aesthetics. It's about strength. And when you shift the attention away from just how you look, it's amazing how much more fun exercise can be, and also how meaningful. Otherwise it does feel a bit like I'm just on this bloody treadmill again.
Yeah, or just sad little calorie counted diet.
Yes.
And just exercising for no fun at all, just for burning calories.
And I feel like Shona puts the energy back into fitness.
So here is Cherry talking to Shona Virtue.
The Hotbed Collective's debut book, More Orgasms Please, is out now and has been described by Stylist magazine as one of the top non-fiction books of 2019. It's an open, honest, and at moments hilarious dive into all aspects of sex for women. It covers feminist porn, body image, menopause, and much more. It's punchy and playful, normalizing and educating. It's an eye-opening read that puts women's bodies and their right to pleasure firmly on the map. Think of it as Couch to 5K for orgasms. More Orgasms Please, Why Female Pleasure Matters, is available now in hardback, ebook, and audiobook versions.
So, I want to talk to you first of all. Now, you call yourself a fitness feminist.
Yes.
What's going on there then?
The fit feminist.
What's that then?
To be honest, it came about because I really felt like there was a lack of feminism within the fitness industry particularly when I started, and it's starting to grow, but again, you know, there's a little bit of a convoluted feminism at the best of times is a bit convoluted, and I think that it's one of those awkward things like Brexit. If you bring it up at the dinner table, everyone goes silent, and it's probably not ideal to bring up. But I think we do need to have these conversations more and more, and I really felt like it needed to be brought into the fitness space.
It's a huge subject and there are lots of different voices and we're all really different.
Exactly.
And I think the more we talk about it, the more we find more words, more phrases and more balance.
Yes. And for me, you know, when I came into the industry, fitness was very much for men about strength and being whatever, being really muscly and really big. And for women, it was about being toned and like amazing. And like, I don't want to get bulky. And I just wanted to come in and say, actually, we're going to talk about body neutrality, but yes. I wanted to say it's not just about how you look, and it shouldn't be about confining women into this smaller package. But in actual fact, so many other things, like just being able to, whatever, carry your luggage up the stairs or be able to carry all the groceries. Like, women, we tend to have way more active life than men anyway.
Amen to that. And I love your new kind of hashtag, 99 Reasons.
Yes.
Which is so badass because... ages ago, I realised that I just go to the gym to lose weight and burn calories. And I thought, fuck this shit. And so I thought, why am I actually doing this? Like, I'm doing it because I can run really fast for a bus. I can carry yes. all the kit. When there's heavy kit, like the tripod is the worst thing to carry, but I can pick it up easily. And I was thinking, God, the reason I stay fit is because I can do all these amazing things. It put the juice back into exercise for me.
Exactly.
It suddenly gave me this great goal. It's like, oh my God, my life is so much easier when I can carry my kids really easily.
Totally. And it's so much more motivating. There's nothing wrong with training to have toned arms or training for what yes. I call aesthetics. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But if it's the sole motivator, what's either going to happen, one of two things happens. You either get bored and you stop, you fall off the fitness wagon or you go on and off, or you actually develop sort of slightly disordered patterns around food and around fitness. So we want to keep it as healthy as possible, both for the mind and the body. And I just find that other more intrinsic reasons other forms of intrinsic motivation are much more sustainable.
Where do you sit in the body positive landscape? Because we obviously had the toxic diet culture where everyone was supposed to be super, 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 super skinny and diet all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was really put a lot of women, including myself, into a very dark trap. Silent, you'd never know it. Here's Cherry, isn't she having fun? But inside, a really, really toxic narrative of hating my body, yep. doing different diets, or really, really dangerous diets. And so now the body positive movement has pulled a lot of us out of that, and that's beautiful. But the body positive movement has been very, 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 very strong, obviously, to counteract that really dark place. Where do you sit within that spectrum?
I think body positivity, like you say, has been an amazing rebellion against a lot of that sort of like 90s heroin chic thing that was going on. And again, it was a very strong, I think, feminist movement led by a lot of feminist women.
Yeah.
However, I think the only issue I have with it is that it's still us talking about our bodies and how they look. Yeah. And it's like, I just would love it if we could have... We're so much more than that. And I really try to preach health as much as possible. So, yes, the body is incredibly important, but body positivity to me felt still very much about saying, my body looks like this and I'm very freaking happy about it. Mm. Whereas it's like the conversation is still really revolving around my body looks like this. Whereas why can't we talk about my body keeps me in a state of homeostasis, which enables me to live my life and chase after this company that I want to start or this career that I want to go for or these babies that I want to have or this family that I want to start or whatever it might be. It's like your body is facilitating your goals.
Yes. It
isn't necessarily the goal. Exactly. And I think body positivity was also very fueled by social media and the fact that we're becoming a very, again, I'm going to use the word aesthetic, but, very visually motivated culture.
Yeah.
And so it's like, let's talk about what your body can do, or let's just talk about the body being able to help you facilitate all the other myriad of things that women are frigging capable of. Yes. Right?
I agree. It's like we're finding balance now within that body positive movement. One of the moments of freedom that I found as a result of the body positive movement is freeing myself from that horrible hatred narrative. I've realised that in the morning I love clothes and I love getting dressed and I love fitness. But then it's like allowing myself to then, that's it. And then I can think about other things for the rest of the day.
Totally.
Now, how do you feel about, there's quite a lot of shame if somebody wants to tone up their arms or lose a couple of pounds. What's your take on that?
I mean, I don't know if there is. I think there is an echo chamber of shame. But I don't know if there is shame across the board.
Sounds really scary place.
Yeah, I don't know if there's shame across the board because I feel like we're still having conversations about making women smaller and there is still a very strong diet culture out there that's very aesthetic based. So I don't shame anyone for what they want to do with their bodies ever because it's their prerogative.
Yeah.
What I find problematic is if you have role models that are kind of promoting that sort of stuff or people in public positions that are suggesting that other people join their train.
Yes.
You know.
And that their only value is how good they look in a pair of PVC trousers.
Totally. I don't know what those are, but yes, agree.
They're really sexy. But they're very tight. And there are a lot of very famous role models at the moment whose goal we obviously know we're talking about the Kardashians. I would say at the moment they're probably the most influential female family at the moment, and the obsession, and they've come out, they're fairly vocal about it. The obsession is to be the curviest woman on the planet, or how do you counteract that?
Yeah, I mean, God, that's a big meal to try and tackle, because it's so, you know, they're just huge, as we know. So I think that I just keep trying to bring the conversation back to our physical capability, but then also other things that exercise can support, like mental health.
Yes.
You know, there are so many, or lymphatic health is one that I always talk about, which isn't very sexy, but it's really freaking important. And so that's the thing that frustrates me, is that I just want to keep bringing the conversation back to that. Look, aesthetics, there's a very fine line, because, you know, attractiveness isn't just about aesthetics. Mm-hmm. It isn't just about how one looks, but we all want to be attractive.
Yes.
You know, to either the same sex or the opposite sex or whatever. So it can be difficult, because it means that everyone culturally in this big mass has to challenge social conditioning and cultural norms that we have. And it's like, how do we do that collectively? And how does everyone... So it's a really tricky one to navigate.
It's a huge one. And I think being attractive, what I learn as I get older is actually, yes, aesthetics do play a part. And I definitely feel more attractive if I do my hair and I put my makeup on, and that's really fun. But I've realized it doesn't have to be within the confines of what society tells me is beautiful. I suppose it comes back to that smashing your beauty standards. Like, my attractiveness increases, I would say, if I feel good about myself, and that happens not by dieting, Cherry.
Yes.
It comes from looking after myself and caring for myself, and, you know what, buying a new t-shirt and go, you know, I'm going to go and see my boyfriend tonight for dinner, and I've bought a new little snazzy skirt, and it's snakeskin, and it's making me feel a bit like Hootie Tootie. And that's like, in a way, it doesn't matter if someone else doesn't like it. Like, I suppose it's really complicated, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
It is so complicated.
But I suppose it's very much coming from within, and what is making you feel a bit Hootie Tootie.
It's intrinsic. Yes. And that's why, again, I do think that as women, if we can focus on our capability or what it is, the skill set that we might have internally, that's all intrinsic stuff that no reflection in the mirror, no bad lighting, no Instagram filter can either give or take away from us.
Oh, that's most beautiful. I kind of wish you could put that on a t-shirt. It'd be a really long
t-shirt. A really long t-shirt.
Massively like a cloak.
Yeah, totally.
That's a really important thing.
You know what I mean? So it's like, if you can make exercise and your nutritional kind of practices based around you being capable of doing something, then it means that you're going to you're going to feel sexy. And then that feeling sexy translates into a language that we can't explain in words often, but it's like two people, it's that chemistry, it's everything. Yes. So
I think one of the reasons that Instagram is so successful is that, you know, if what you're looking for to improve your life is visual, like you can do your hair, you can do your lipstick, but actually sometimes it's a lot harder to work on the interior. It's a lot harder, and it's easier to ignore it and just go, oh, if I have my lips done. Now, listen, we're going to move on to one of your favorite subjects.
Go, yes.
Talking about the interior, we're going to talk about Mrs. Pelvic Floor, or Mr. Pelvic Floor, let's not genderize pelvic floors, that's just weird.
That's true.
So, one of the chapters in the fabulous Hotbed book written by the wonderful Lisa and Anarchy, More Orgasms Please, that's what it's called. And I want to talk about pelvic floor, because when I asked the world to send questions, a lot of them were about, questions for you, a lot of them were about the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
So, how important is a pelvic floor? What is a pelvic floor?
Well, to be honest, if you want to be able to hold in your pee and control your bowels.
Yes, I do.
If you do, okay, you do? Cool.
I do,
well,
Shona.
If anyone listening wants to, then yeah, it's beneficial. It's worthwhile having a functioning pelvic floor. So it's kind of like a funnel.
Is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a funnel of muscles.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it kind of goes down your pelvis. I'm trying to show hands, but I realize you can't actually see.
You look like she's cupping water from a spring.
Yes, and so as women, we have we obviously have three holes.
Yes,
men
we do.
Have two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Anatomy 101.
Thank you.
You heard it here first. Okay. So
what?
So basically, that pelvic floor is. doing a lot of stuff to ensure that you have bladder control, bowel control, and it also actually helps with your orgasm.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Now, that was one of my questions. How does a pelvic floor affect orgasm?
Well, it's through... So I'm no sex expert here. You know, I don't get physical with people's pelvic floors.
That's not an area you partake in.
No, other than to ensure that if I do have someone that has a poorly functioning pelvic floor, then we will do exercises to try to get them to understand how to squeeze it.
Can you do that now in verbally?
Are you doing it right now?
I am
now. I feel like your face is like...
I am now.
She's got Kegel face on. So Kegel exercise is probably the most famous. But actually... and I don't have the exact stats on this, but women tend to do Kegels incorrectly.
Okay.
A lot of women will over squeeze and they'll squeeze really hard or they won't squeeze the right area. Sometimes they'll only squeeze the rectum and they're not actually squeezing their pelvic floor properly.
Although a good strong bum hole is always useful.
Depending on the situation. Actually, probably in every situation, I think a good strong butthole is important. Yes.
That's a tangent.
But basically, the way it was explained to me, and this is actually a really good way, and I explain it now all the time, is like, imagine you were trying to pick blueberries off the floor with your vagina.
Great. Wow. Mind blown.
Right? Because you don't want to... Are you doing it right now?
Yes.
I feel like you're trying to do
I'm
it.
I'm literally doing it constantly, all the whole interview. We'll take it as that.
Constant.
Okay, I'm picking up blueberries.
For the record, you're definitely making blueberry juice, so you're squeezing too hard.
Am I?
Yeah, because I feel like your face is going...
I feel like I've got a sweat on. I'm like sweating.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't be sweating. Okay. So it should just be picking up a blueberry, so not squishing it. So you want to pick it up and then be able to transport it from A to B.
Okay, that was from... I was doing a more gentle transport.
Yep, you were making a smoothie.
Okay, that's actually quite revelatory, because when I do Kegels, it's really like a massive function I'm doing.
Yes, you're like really squeezing hard. Certain exercises and certain coaches may actually get you to do it. It really depends on the case. But for the most part, we want a nice light squeeze.
Okay,
we
don't want to be... So that's also moving the function a bit further towards the front of me. So I suppose before, my butthole was always in play. And actually my butt cheeks as well, probably. Are you saying move it forward
Absolutely.
And tone it down?
Because exactly, because essentially that's what's helping, you know, prevent the prolapse, the P word that we were discussing earlier.
Nobody wants a prolapse.
Yeah, nobody wants a prolapse, but it's very common, more common than you would think.
Absolutely,
because no one wants to talk about it because it's very taboo.
I know you talk about preventative.
Exactly.
Pelvic floor exercises.
So here's the thing that really frustrates me about the pelvic floor is that we only ever associate it with women with menopause or, you know, women during their pregnancy or post-pregnancy. But actually, you know, if you want to avoid prolapse, if you want to avoid having, you know, problems later in life or even during your pregnancy, then it's something that is worth considering now. If there are 20-year-olds listening, 19-year-olds listening, it's like, be aware of that. It's a muscle in your body. Like,
yes.
It really frustrates me. This, again, the priorities that we have in terms of development are things that we see in an Instagram photo or things that we might see in the mirror rather than the things that are really helping our body function. So again, trying to bring the fitness dialogue back to functionality is really important, and pelvic floor is key. And who doesn't want better orgasms?
I do all the time. Now, I want to bring us back to some of the questions that I've been sent on Instagram, because a couple of people said, please let it be in the interview.
Please. Yeah.
So one lady, Selena, said, what's her understanding of diastasis recti? Does she have any tips for recovery 4 years later? I've had it. I have found that core work has been the only thing, but the correct core work.
You closed together? Are you closed now, mostly?
What do you mean?
So, you're not, but it's much better. Okay, so just to give, diastasis recti, I'm going to give you a really quick
kind of
rundown. Your rectus abdominis is that top layer, the six-pack layer that you have in your abs, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's the one that everyone's always obsessed with sort of having and developing.
Yeah.
So during pregnancy, that area has to stretch, has to open, right? And so there's everyone has diastasis recti during pregnancy. It has to separate.
Yes.
However, it's the problem is when it doesn't come back together.
Right.
And so the more active your rectus abdominis is, that top layer of your ab muscle, the harder, the bigger that gap can sometimes be.
I exercised loads when I was pregnant.
Right. And so exercising is different. It's more if you're doing like loads of heavy rectus work, so like crunches, things like that. But another area that can be problematic is if you don't have a good awareness of what's called your transverse abdominis, and that's the deepest layer of your ab muscles, okay? And that's like your corset. That's like holding all the good shit in, all the organs, it's like holding it in, okay? Now, most people, unless they're being taught to be aware of it, when they go to do ab work, like crunches or sit-ups, things like that, they have no clue about their TVA and they're just going straight into rectus only. Yeah. And a good way to tell whether you're doing that is actually if you're, when you do a crunch, and you guys could do it right now if you're not in an inappropriate place, you could just lie on your back and then crunch to sit up. And if you kind of get a sort of blowing up of your stomach, then it's chances are your TVA hasn't activated and you're just using other abdominal muscles. Yes. Okay. Now this happens a lot post-pregnancy. You suddenly realize like, oh, I probably never actually activated my TVA. Yeah. So diastasis recti happens and you have to bring it back together, but it's harder now because you have so much connection, mind-muscle connection to the rectus.
Yes.
That trying to get, it's so friggin' boring. And this is why, again, a lot of women will kind of, I noticed that one of the comments was like, 4 years later, I still have a massive gap. And it's because it's really boring ab work that you have to, or core work that you have to do. It's like lying on your side and taking a big breath in and then vacuuming your stomach in, like drawing it in, rather than actively kind of crunching or doing anything like that. So it's absolutely not like any core exercise
you've
ever done. It's
not that adrenaline, fun, listen to Cardi B exercise. It's like really, and it's every day.
And it's every day because you're essentially trying to reprogram the way your body works, particularly if you didn't do it prior to pregnancy as well. So it's boring. That's probably the number one reason why a lot of people will have such a big problem in trying to get it back together.
Is it fixable? Like what kind of time frame we're talking? 100% fixable. If someone is really dedicated, what's the kind of carrot?
That's, unfortunately, that's like, how long is a piece of string? That question.
Just how long is a piece of string, Shona?
It's 20 centimeters. Only because, 42.
Thank you.
Only because basically it really depends on like your frequency, your rate of recovery, whether you're actually doing it.
Yes, whether you're getting it right.
Because you could be dedicated but just be totally messing it up.
That's the pain as well, is that you don't, it's not even a guarantee that you're doing it right. And
exactly.
You do it,
there are a lot of videos on YouTube. It is fixable. I'm going to make a whole lot more content around it because I realize that it's a really big issue that people aren't addressing.
Our next question is, how being in your 40s and 50s sees your body lose fitness faster and struggle to gain it more? This is from Amongst the Cherry Blossoms. What a lovely name. Please don't add in exercise. Should be gentle for older adults and post pictures of women 60 and over. Like most guides seem for over 40s, I want to be a badass too, not a gentle mover. Ah, Amongst the Cherry Blossoms.
Was that a question?
Yeah, so basically how to gain fitness in your 40s and 50s when it's harder. It's almost like it's harder to keep that fitness up.
Okay, so
but don't put pictures of someone doing Pilates and playing golf.
No, I know that really annoys me.
Yeah.
The point is that it doesn't have to be that. It's definitely not, you know, an older lady carrying pink dumbbells, you know, in a Pilates room, which really irritates me. But it can be that, so I'm not shaming those people that do that. It's just, it doesn't have to be that. To be honest, you can probably do a lot more than you think you can. It's just that a lot of the marketing is directed towards younger people. So we sort of assume that it's not appropriate. The Virtue Method program that I have is right up until like I have, there's like 50 year olds doing it as well. I'm actually creating a program that's for over 65s at the moment. So you can actually do the program all the way up until, I mean, like my mom does it and she's 65.
I mean, I feel like it's a very sustainable system.
Yeah.
I've done it. It's something. Do you remember when I came to one of those retreats?
That's right.
It is exhausted, but it's really sustainable and it's not too heavy on your joints. Thank you for helping me. You've changed my pelvic floor life forever and I'll be picking up blueberries all over the place.
I literally or figuratively?
I might even try a real one.
Yeah, I think you should. Friday night.
I like a goal. Shona, thank you so much for coming in. It's just always a delight to see you.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hootie tootie skirt.
Hootie tootie.
Hootie tootie is the new word.
That's so great. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Like, you know when you feel it?
Yeah.
You go, today I feel banging.
I do. And it's often around day 14 of the cycle.
Yes.
Are you on day 14?
No, because I'm on the pill at the moment. I've just been continuous because I didn't want my pill when I was working. Amen.
No period.
I need to give my body a break though.
I'm actually menstruating at the moment.
And you're glowing.
I'm using Wooka pants. Have you heard of them?
No, what are they like? Are they the pants that involve the...
They catch everything.
Are
catch
they good?
All pants. Catch all pants. Yes.
I don't like the idea of them, I'll be honest. Were you creeped out by them a bit?
I was.
That's very immature
of
me.
Oh, it's a bit like wearing a nappy.
Yes.
That's what I thought it was. And the seam is a little bit, takes a bit of getting used to because there's like a seam where the padding kicks in. But actually, you know what? This period, I was a bit like, I'm hot and I don't like a sticky sanitary towel.
Yes.
I'm not, moon cups I love, but sometimes I just don't fancy it. So this month round, the Wooka pants have been perfect. They really have, because I was like, I can sling on the pants, doesn't feel
and
sticky.
That's nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's really interesting. And I suppose the idea is that you can use them again and again.
Exactly. So I bought a pair because they came and they were at our self-love marketplace. And I was like, this is a gift to myself. I'm going to buy a pair. They're not that cheap. They're between 30 and 40 quid. Lovely lady gave me another pair for free. So yeah. I'm sort of like 50% hashtag gifted, but 50% I paid for it. So she gave me two. And I think that's the only problem is you probably need quite a few. And then you wash them and then you're good to go.
Bob's your uncle.
I know. So I don't know why I thought that. Oh, yeah. Am I feeling hootie tootie? I'm not really. But I'm going to feel hootie tootie next week.
But I've realised that it's all right to have non-hootie tootie days because you can't feel like that all the time.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't get anything done.
I mean, I'd just be a maniac. Constantly be a
nightmare. Stroking myself.
speaking of stroking thyself, I really loved Shona's blueberry tip.
Oh, yeah.
I have been doing pelvic floors all wrong. It's very, like, it's very up, like, bum area and it's very strong. And now I realise I have to bring it to the front and it can be a more gentle, as actually it is, I can feel that core working a bit more.
Yeah, the only thing is the problem is the practicality of like, I can't reach the floor because my legs would get in the way. So
Lisa,
it
you
stopped.
Don't actually have to pick up a blueberry.
We stopped recording and I was like, oh, excuse me, but I think the blueberry needs to be on some kind of pallet. Oh no, like a little spatula.
Oh my God. If I come to your house and you have a little like tray sticking out, like a perfect sized tray with a little dip in the end, I know what you've been practicing.
Dip.
You're very literal, Lisa.
I get
stuff done.
I was like, that does not work. But you know, you should use your bum as well, but it's isolating the movement. So you need to do the front one and the middle ones and the back ones.
Yeah.
But it's like not that...
Yes.
You know, and it's butt cheeks shouldn't get involved.
No.
Leave out the butt cheeks.
No, I was doing that wrong. Now, I know you want to talk about the mannequin debate at the moment.
Yeah, so we sort of touched on body positivity. And the thing is, I just feel confused about it because I love body positivity. And I think that I'm more on that side than the diet culture side. I was just interested what you thought about the like plus size mannequins because they hit the news because Nike has got a plus size mannequin and our lovely body posy ladies, I mean, Megan Jane Crabb at Body Posy Panda is literally like my goddess. She wrote, you know what? Everyone takes the piss out of fat people because they should be exercising. And then look at the furore that happens when Nike starts catering to fat people and saying like, you should exercise, you can exercise too. Here's a mannequin, here's gear for you. You are welcome. You are included. And we love our fit bodied people, but bigger people are welcome into exercise as well. Isn't that, like, that's good?
I mean, it's wonderful. And she's just really called out some ridiculous hypocrisy. Mm. And when I saw, I briefly saw the debate, although I was mainly on a boat and fishing for crabs over the last 2 weeks, I thought it was the silliest hoo-ha I've seen for a long time. I can't wait for there to be more mannequins that reflect more people's bodies. I can't wait for there to be a size 12.
Yeah, just mannequin. A size 12. Yeah.
I mean, that would be revelatory in itself. I want the range. Can we see the range, please? Because there are a range of women in real life.
Yeah, there needs to be the Lisa mannequin, which is like small boobs and big thighs.
Like, beautiful. Like, people pay a lot of money for that. Like, can we see that mannequin? So that when you go to the shop, you go, this is a shop I'm allowed to be in.
Yeah, or this, that's what the dress will look like on me.
Yes.
And not on... this perfect actually, one. New York sex shops have got the opposite. They've got mannequins, and it's when I said they've got mannequins that are like teeny tiny hips and like massive tits, which is great. But I was like, only in New York, baby.
Only in New York. I mean, it's really wonderful. I went past Primark this morning, and they've got a model, and their cellulite hasn't been airbrushed out. And it was...
oh, that's cool.
God, I just think how many guys are impacted by that. Like, mm-hmm. So when you see your girl with cellulite, there isn't a sense of... oh, that's not normal. Actually, it's great for everyone. It's a beautiful thing for everyone to be accepting of a body that is just really normal.
Totally. That's Cherry Healy in her airbrushed form. Perfect, as you are.
As always. So that was a fantastic episode, Lisa. I feel like we've learned something, we debated something, and we've got to spend some time with that ray of light, Shayna Virtue.
Slam dunk.
You've been listening to The Hotbed, the podcast brought to you by The Hotbed Collective, who want to make life better one orgasm at a time. If you like us, we would love it if you could subscribe using your podcast player. And while you're there, leave us a glowing review, if only to massage our paper-thin egos. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.